This morning, we want to invite Lisa Gonzalez. She's going to come and she's going to speak to us this morning on this Mother's Day. She is a mother, and she's got three wonderful kids, Casper and Edgar and Samantha. And she's going to probably tell you a little bit about them. Lisa's also on our board at Valley Church as well. And so we're just really grateful to have you and your husband as a part of our church. And it'll be okay if I prayed with you? Okay, let's pray with Lisa. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for Lisa. We thank you for their family as a part of our family, Lord Jesus. And Father, I would just pray for her even now, God, as she speaks. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would just use her and anoint her words, anoint her, Lord, this morning as she brings your word to us. And so we give you the remainder of our time, Lord. Be glorified and honored here in Valley Church, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I got my first interpretation of myself the other day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. It's a good job. I appreciate Picasso. it's kind of fun. Those are done by the twins, Casper and Edgar. And I was just struck by their desire to plan something for me. So yesterday they made breakfast and they gave me some fun gifts. I got a stuffed bunny because I was looking at it in the window when we were window shopping. And we went to see the sky because I like to hike and be outside. So it was fun, fun day. Well, it's a great honor for me to share with you today about motherhood. Last Sunday, May 7th, marked my anniversary of being a mother for 1 year. Never would I imagine that the laundry would quintuple. I had to look that up because I knew, you know, what comes after four? Yep, that's five times the amount. I feel like I'm more intimate with the laundry machine, you know? The folding is never ending, and sometimes I think the unfolded clothes in the laundry basket are as big as Grouse Mountain. Meal planning. Yep, got to do that. Graven and I cannot eat just eggs for dinner anymore. Schedules for school and lessons have changed my life. My students don't get their assignments back the next day. They're like, when are we getting that? I'm like, I got three kids. Okay. Yeah. A walk and a coffee with my husband is different as our three race down the street and wait at the crosswalk to do the next race in between blocks. I'm exhausted. However, the exhaustion and the mounds of laundry are nothing compared to the sweet hugs and kisses I get. The unknown weed flower bouquets I receive on walks and watching all three of them sleep like innocent little angels is incredible. I love to be called Mom. Mom, look what I can do. These are their little accents. Mom, catch me. Mom, can I have a kiss? Mom, I need a Band-Aid. Mom, can you read me a story? Mom, where are you? Just give me 5 minutes. I'm in the bathroom. All moms, grandmas, aunties, and babysitters out there know what I mean. The bathroom is the sacred space. We only have one, and sometimes when the lineup is too long, someone has to pee in the shower. Motherhood is raw and real. You pray, you learn, you ask God for wisdom, and you figure it out. And you may make mistakes along the way, and you ask for forgiveness, and you love. Today, I would like to honor all women on this special day. I'm not going to make you stand as a mother in church today. I understand the pain of not being able to stand. And instead, I will honor you with words. I'm an English teacher. I like words. Words are good. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. And to those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. And to those who walk the path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We do not mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, spiritual moms, we need you. And to those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. And to those who lost their mothers in this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience and we sit with you. And to those who have lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. And to those who will have empty nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. And to those who placed a child up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. And mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have some amazing warriors in our midst that we can learn from. And thank you for all that you do for your families, Mom. You are a blessing. Today, I would like to share with you some of the moms from the Bible that have impacted my life during times of when I just thought I would never be able to be a mom, and then share a little bit about our adoption story with you this morning. Sarah, the mother who waited. In Genesis 11:30, we learn, now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. This would have grieved both Sarah and Abraham. And in Genesis 15, when the word of the Lord came to Abraham, he answered, "What will you give me, Lord, since you have not given me an heir?" God tells him to look at the stars in the sky, for that would be the number of his offspring. And Abraham and Sarah waited 15 years before God renewed his promise, and about 10 more years before the promise was fulfilled, and Sarah bore a son, Isaac. Sarah probably wouldn't win an award for waiting, and she even laughed at the idea that God could do what he promised. But thankfully, God's promise did not rely on the level of Sarah's faith. God fulfilled, and his promise according to his plan, and Sarah responded in Genesis 21. God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Can you imagine waiting that long for a blessing? I imagined that. I thought, man, am I going to be 90 by the time I have kids? No thanks. But she has doubts until it finally came to fruition. And then she laughed with joy at what the Lord had done. Isaac would go on to continue the legacy of his father Abraham. Naomi, the mother-in-law who shared her faith. Naomi and her family fled to the country of Moab because of a famine in their land. Her husband died, and her two sons married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. After 10 years, both of Naomi's sons passed away, and Naomi heard that the Lord had blessed the land of her people with food again, and she told her daughter-in-laws that they could return home to find new husbands. Although they both wept at her leaving, one refused to leave Naomi's side. Orpah returned to her people and her gods, but Ruth said, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me. Ruth was already learning from Naomi's faith, even during a time of bitterness. Naomi continued to watch out for Ruth and instruct her wisely in her dealings with Boaz, who became her kinsman redeemer. The Lord blessed Naomi, and she gained a son when Boaz married Ruth. Ruth and Boaz had a child, and the women of the land said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. The child was named Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David, who would be king. Hannah, the mother who kept her promise. Hannah was married to a man who loved her very much, but he also had another wife. The wife was able to bear children, but in 1 Samuel 5, 5-6, we learn that the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. The rival wife provoked Hannah continually, but Hannah would go to the house of the Lord to pray, and her husband tried to console her, saying, "Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" in 1 Samuel 1, 8. And Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." In fact, she was praying so hard that her lips were moving, but no sound came out, so that the priest Eli thought she was drunk. And the Lord blessed Hannah, and she gave birth to a son, named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." She did just as she had promised, and when the boy was old enough, she took him to the house of the Lord and presented him to Eli. Hannah then prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance." And her beautiful prayer continues in 1 Samuel 2. Samuel lived a life dedicated to the Lord, and he would go on to lead the people of Israel, anointing Israel's first and second kings, Saul and David. Elizabeth, the mother who believed in miracles. Elizabeth was married to a priest named Zechariah, and Luke 1 tells us that both Elizabeth and Zechariah were righteous before God, observing all of his commands. But Elizabeth was childless, and they were both old in age. Similar to people in Job's day, people would have thought that sin prevented Elizabeth from bearing a child. This would have been very hard to face, especially being a wife of a priest. And I can so relate to that sometimes. You didn't have kids because there's sin in your life. You have to get rid of it. Like, how much more cleansing do I have to do? I don't know, right? And when Zechariah was serving in the temple, an angel of the Lord, Gabriel, approached him and said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." Zechariah still questioned how this would be possible, and because he doubted, he was struck mute for the duration of Elizabeth's pregnancy. 9 months of muteness. Can you imagine your husband being mute for 9 months? Might have its benefits, I don't know. Elizabeth was overjoyed at this blessing of life and said, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." When Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to visit her cousin Elizabeth, the baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she took great joy in Mary's pregnancy and blessing from the Lord. I love this part. It's like the cousins are like talking in the womb. And when it came time for Elizabeth to give birth, she named her son John. When neighbors went to confirm this with Zechariah, he wrote the same name, and his mouth was opened. Everyone wondered at what the child would be, since his birth was miraculous. John would go on to baptize people for their sins with water, and he would prepare the way for the coming Messiah. Mary, the mother who is blessed among women. Mary, a virgin pledged to a man named Joseph, was also visited by the angel Gabriel. He said to her in Luke 1:31, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary wondered at how this would be possible, and the angel told her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary embraced these words in faith, and when she visited her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth proclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Mary believed God will fulfill his promise. An angel of the Lord also visited Joseph, who put him at ease with Mary's pregnancy. As we read in Matthew 1, Joseph took Mary to be his wife, but they did not consummate their marriage until after she had given birth. Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem for a census, where she gave birth in the humblest of environments. And Mary treasured up many things in her heart as she raised Jesus, but she also had to endure the greatest sacrifice of all time. Her son was the Son of God, and he had come to give himself up as a sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice that could be made for mankind. She had to watch him suffer, be tortured and mocked, and die a cruel death on a cross by crucifixion. John 19 tells us, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Even while he was dying, Jesus cared for his mother and gave her a new son to love her. Mary was blessed among women, for she was chosen by God to bear his son and to raise him. Though there was death, there was yet joy for Mary, as her son did not stay dead. He rose again from the grave, securing eternity for her and for all of us who believe. These women in the Bible became my comfort in my own frustration of not being able to conceive my own biological child. We tried and tried to become pregnant. It just wasn't working. At times, I felt ashamed that I couldn't get pregnant, a stigma that I trudged the valley through. Why me, God? We went through fertility tests, spent thousands of dollars on in vitro, and had two failed attempts of trying to conceive with medical help. Were we playing God? It was frustrating, an emotional roller coaster where I kept asking, why us? Why can't I have a child, God? The doctor said there's nothing medically wrong with you. Okay. Meanwhile, people gave us suggestions, positions of what to do, told us to relax, it will happen. And others, they just quietly walked alongside of us and faithfully prayed. Adoption. I was open, and Graven was wrestling with the idea. It took him time as he sought God in all of this, and he remembers being in church one Sunday, wrestling with the idea of adoption. He was quietly praying in his heart, and the Lord gave him peace. If you ask him what the sermon was that day, he says he has no idea. Sorry, Marcel or Pastor Owen, we don't even remember who was preaching that day. Emotionally, we were drained. And eventually, we joined an agency and started the adoption process. One day, in a garage in West Vancouver, Graven met a lady as he was landscaping their garden. For whatever reason, Graven felt compelled to share a story with this lady, and she suggested we should adopt from Latvia. Something jumped in Graven's heart when he heard these words. The Holy Spirit. He came home and shared with me, "I was not convinced that this was the country for us. I was on the search for a Latin American country whose door was open. I had married a Costa Rican from Latin America. I wanted children from Latin America. I wanted them to be able to speak Spanish and learn English. Never mind trying to learn another language and keep your own. And we could do that. On all of our paperwork, we put Latin America, and Graven would quietly add and walk alongside of me, "Don't forget Latvia." After some time, we eventually made the connection with the lady in the garage at church. One Sunday, Graven said, "That couple I work with, they are here at church." And we began to get to know Bernice and Stephen Quinn. They invited us over to their home and shared their own adoption story with us. And they even connected us with people in Latvia. I was not convinced. I wanted to add more Latinos to the family. One Sunday, I sat in church, and the Lord gave me a vision of three children. I even asked if there were three children at the orphanage in Latvia for adoption. Nothing. I'm like, okay, what was that? I continued to pursue Latin America, and the doors were closing all around me. I was even so desperate that I was thinking about adopting from Haiti, investigating a country when it really was not even in my heart. I remember writing Bernice an email many months later in all of the confusion and tears, and I told her what was happening. Doors closing left and right. And she said, "What about Latvia?" And I said, I didn't even know where the country was, nor what a Latvian child looked like. Cam, did you get those pictures from me? Sorry, now I gotta put the glasses on. This is what happened after 45 when you're almost hitting 50. Okay. Yeah, thank you. I said I didn't know where the country was, nor what a Latvian child looked like. You know, when the Soviet Union split apart, I didn't know all those little countries anymore on the map. She told me later that she reluctantly sent a picture to us of our children. She sent it to us to show us what Latvian children looked like. I opened the picture, this one right here, and I began to weep. I said to Graven, "Those are our children." The Holy Spirit just had me weeping and weeping. And I knew in the depths of my heart, just like Graven, knew that we should adopt from Latvia. I did not know how God was going to bring us together. No idea. Our agency at the time was not going to allow us to adopt multiple older children because of attachment issues. Nor were they going to allow us to adopt from a country that they were not connected to. We began to pray over these children. We took this picture and we began to pray every night. We eventually changed agencies to one who would walk alongside of us in a new journey, a journey of stepping out in faith. And we were able to go and volunteer in Latvia at the orphanage. And the first day of our visit in this beautiful country was incredible. The gate of the orphanage was decorated with balloons, and when it opened, there was a party for the guests and little children running around and happy to meet these two strangers. I remember that Samantha and Edgar both prayed over the food and a blessing over us for being there. And we began to know the culture of Latvia and work with eight little orphans for 2 weeks. Maybe can we just scroll through the next set of pictures? So, at the Riga airport, I did not get my luggage that day. 2 days with no luggage. Our welcome cake. And here's the group of little people that we worked with for 2 weeks when we volunteered there. And you can see our three are there. And the beginning of fun, Edgar actually licked the bubbles and ate them that day. And these are the little kids that we got to work with for 2 weeks, and I'm hiding behind the couch because I had packed shorts and a tank shirt in our bag, and that was what I was wearing for 2 days. And when we arrived, Samantha gave us flowers. That's part of Latvian culture, flowers and chocolate. And over time, we became their sponsor family and sent them packages, and eventually Samantha would calculate every 2 weeks packages would come, and we would Skype on the phone with them, and they'd open their little packages and squeal with glee and swallow those little tiny M&M packages all in one gulp. and they enjoyed getting our letters and our photos from us. And there we are Skyping. Faithfully get up early and Skype for half an hour every 2 weeks. And we sent them suits and a dress for Christmas and some money so they could open presents under a tree. And this is the photo. We'll stop there for now. Thanks, Cam. And this is the photo that they sent us. And I'll keep going with our story. The first night we had devotions, Casper sat on my lap, and this is when we were volunteering there, and wrapped my arms around him. And he sighed a huge sigh, and he sat into me. It was like he knew in his heart that one day I would be his mom. He was comfortable. I'll never forget that moment. We played with the kids. We went swimming in the Baltic Sea, made sandcastles. We prayed with them. We picked wild blueberries with them. We ate Latvian pancakes, jam, and sour cream with them. We still do that. We made crafts with them. And God gave us an incredible love for the children we worked with. And I'm happy to let you know that with the exception of one, seven of those eight little children have been adopted, including our three. Upon returning home from volunteering, we had no idea if our agency would get accredited to adopt from Latvia. We prayed and prayed. We walked one step of faith at a time, and God began to open doors and make connections with people for us. In the meantime, we Skyped our little friends in Latvia every 2 weeks and sent them presents from Canada. We were their sponsor family, and we have all of our conversations on video. Eventually, our agency was accredited, and we had a lawyer to represent us and our agency in Latvia. And our three became available for international adoption. The waiting was difficult. There were even other people who were interested in adopting them. And there were many tears shed when we heard this news. It was only the movement of God and all of the paperwork that we could eventually be together. We were sent a proposal from Latvia. It was a day of rejoicing. And we said, yes, we would like to go to Latvia and foster them. And this is the picture that they sent us. And even during the fostering time, we did not know if we'd be able to have them. Samantha, Edgar, and Casper would need to want to be with us. They could have said no. In April of 2015, we headed to Latvia for 3 weeks to foster our three babies. 5 days before we left, we told them we were coming to visit and wanted to be their forever family. We wanted to adopt them and be their mom and dad. All three were bouncing in the director's office with delight. There was laughter, screaming, and tears. So many emotions. I remember Samantha was so exasperated that she laid her head on the table and then stood up and hugged Edgar. And she said to him, "Imagine, Edgar, they want us." And all three of them danced. Our fostering time was amazing, and at times it was super exhausting. It's still super exhausting. Adjusting to jet lag, communicating in three languages, feeding children who were unsure of food you were cooking, taking them places and protecting them, loving them, meeting their needs. At times it was overwhelming. But Graven and I knew that God brought us all together for a purpose. We are a multilingual, international family. The blending of cultures and our lives could only happen because of the Lord. Our adoption process with our new agency was just like a pregnancy. It was 9 months long. Like, literally. Okay. Those were one of the cards. They would send us little cards and five little monkeys, and they would constantly draw pictures of houses for us with flowers and little faces. That's us today at Delaney's. They still like to go for, in Latvian, it's called Cafe Nisa, and they like to go for coffee. And that was twin day at school, so we decided we would do triplet day, so everybody has Edgar's mole on their chin. And that's our one-year anniversary picture. Our children came home 1 year ago last Sunday on May 7th. They officially became ours in August 2015. And today they are thriving, healthy little ones who love us and love the Lord. At times it is hard because I have no clue what I'm doing. It went from 0 to 3. Graven and I learn as we go. We pray each day for wisdom and guidance. I ask other parents, is it right that you can love them so much and then sometimes you want to kill them? The answer has been overwhelmingly yes. It is a part of parenting. Mommy brain, is that real? I feel reassured that all of these different things we experience as a mom and dad are the normalness of parenting. Now that Samantha can speak more English, I ask her what she thought of us when she first met us 2 years ago when we went to volunteer at the orphanage. And she said she wondered why we had come there. She thought, who is this lady and man? And she said, she asked God if we would be her parents. She kept praying and praying in her heart of heart. And one time we were Skyping and I said, where's Dasha and Lisa? And she like looked right in the camera and said, hello, in Latvian. They went home to be with their forever family. Like, can you get on with it? Kind of a look. And she kept praying and praying in her heart of hearts. And I asked her if she told any of the orphanage workers that she knew we would be her parents. And she said no. It was her secret with God. She knew we would be her parents. I love my children, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for allowing Graven and I to be their mom and dad, and to walk the journey of this life with them, and to raise them in the love of Christ. And sometimes I look at them and see us in them. We look alike. Come on, Casper and Edgar, they got the wax just like Graven going on with that hair. Only that can be orchestrated by the hand of God. Today, I say thank you to the Lord for all the women around me who are moms, grandmas, aunties, spiritual moms, and caregivers. As women, you are an example to all of our children. Bless you for who God allows you to be in the lives of the children around you. And so to you, I raise my invisible glass and say Happy Mother's Day. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa, for sharing your story with us. And
you know, as you were speaking, you were sharing just about all those moms through your scripture and your story. And one of the things that popped into my head as you were telling that story was just that all of the Lord's promises are yes and amen. You know, and God is faithful. And, you know, you might be here today and struggling through, whether you're a man, whether you're a mother, or whatever it is you're going through. May the encouragement be to you that God is faithful. And so why don't we pray as we end our day today. Father, we come to you today. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that all your promises are yes and amen. And Lord, as we've looked at scripture and saw all those moms throughout, and Lord, how you were faithful to them. And Father, I thank you that, Lord Jesus, you are faithful to us. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness to Lisa and Graven. Lord, I thank you for bringing family together, and Lord Jesus, bringing that family here to Valley Church. And Lord Jesus, our prayer, even for them, God, would you just bless that family? Bless them, we pray. And Father, Lord, I thank you that whatever we're going through today, God, that you're faithful. And I pray that we would just continue to seek you with our heart, with all that we are. Lord, be glorified here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Coffee on the patio, and we will see you next week.